Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. Romans chapter 14, verse 14 is where we're going to start tonight. And you remember, we're in the practical part of the book of Romans. We studied the doctrinal part, the first 8 chapters, and the last few chapters that we've studied, starting in verse 12, is the practical, how that doctrine should impact our life. And it's been a couple weeks since we've been in Romans. We were in Romans 14 2 weeks ago, did the first 13 verses. And if you remember, from a couple weeks ago, Paul was talking both to, he talked to strong Christians and weak Christians. And if you remember, he identified the strong Christians as those that enjoyed their freedom in Christ. They weren't tied to the past traditions like special days or a special diet. And the weak Christians were still hung to some of those traditions, even though they are not necessary for salvation. Nothing wrong with them, as long as they didn't do them to buy their salvation or think that it had anything to do with salvation. But they still had convictions about some of the things that they held to in the past. And if you remember, Paul's message in the first 13 verses of chapter 14 was that we're not to judge one another. And again, he gave two examples, those that eat meat and those that don't, those that remember special holy days and those that don't. He says, whether you do it or not, don't judge one another. Each person individually is accountable to God. We're not accountable to one another. We're accountable to God. And if you are a strong Christian, if you enjoy that freedom in Christ where you no longer have the conviction about special days, no longer have the conviction about a special diet, and your convictions say it's okay to eat, it's okay not to recognize those days, don't be a stumbling block. Don't judge somebody that still holds on to that. Don't be a stumbling block and argue about it. And don't insist that they believe that the way you do. And so we start in verse 14 tonight. Look at what it says. In fact, I'll read verses 14 and 15 together. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. So Paul's identifying himself with the strong Christian, that category of Christian. He says, I know there's nothing unclean in itself. There's any sort of meat, even that meat offered to idols, there's nothing wrong with eating that meat. It's not going to affect our salvation one way or another. But if a brother or a sister, somebody else, thinks that it is unclean to them. That's their conviction. And so it is unclean to them. And so he said, if thy brother be grieved with thy meat. In other words, if your brother sees you eating that meat and is grieved, he says, you're not walking according to love. You're not walking charitably. He says, so Paul says, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Paul would say, you have the freedom to eat it. There's nothing unclean about it. But if eating that tears down a brother, I mean, if somebody sees you eating that and it grieves them and it tears down their faith, even though you have the right to eat it, Paul would say, abstain. Exercise some Christian love, because if you destroy that person by eating that meat, you're destroying somebody who Christ died for. You're destroying a brother in Christ. You're destroying another child of God. So he says in verse 16, let not then your good be evil spoken of. Paul says, Your conviction is it's okay to eat that meat. Your conviction is that you don't have to honor the holy days that you did in the past. That's good. That's good. But don't do it so that it will be evil spoken of. So in other words, if a brother's going to see it, and again, you're going to affect their faith. You're going to affect them as a Christian. You're going to affect their walk. And they're going to speak evil of what you're doing. Just abstain from doing it. Don't do it. You have the right to do it. You have the freedom to do it. Doesn't affect your salvation. But don't do it. Now you say, well, preacher, this doesn't make any sense today because, you know, nobody really concerned about meat. Nobody's really concerned about holy days. But there's other things that go on. There are some things, for example, I'll go back a little bit. I mean, if I went to a movie when I was a little kid, my grandma, man, she would, both of them, they would spank me if they could. They did not believe in going to movies. One of my grandmothers did not believe in playing any kind of cards. I mean, you could be playing Old Maid, and she would have a conniption fit. She did not want you playing cards. Now, was it okay to play Old Maid? Sure, there's nothing wrong with playing Old Maid. There's nothing wrong with playing, good, clean games, having fellowship with one another and using cards to do that. But it would offend some people. Now, let me just use my example. I mean, if I knew there was somebody in the church that was totally against playing cards, I would certainly not play cards in front of them or on any occasion where they were going to be there knowing that their conviction about that. Now, again, I don't think there's anything wrong with playing some card games. I think you ought not to play poker or anything like that or gamble. But if you're just going to have a clean game of cards, I don't believe there's anything wrong with that. I partake of that sometimes. But if it's going to offend somebody, if somebody's going to say, oh, man, what kind of preacher is that? Plays cards. I would abstain. And again, I could give you other examples, but you get the gist. If what we think our conviction says is okay, it doesn't go against the Bible, and our convictions is okay. But if it tears down somebody else, if it affects their faith, Paul would say to us, don't do it. He says in verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. The kingdom of God, it doesn't consist of eating meat or not eating meat. It doesn't consist of keeping holy days or not keeping holy days. The kingdom of God, it says there in verse 17, is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is living right, living according to God's word. It's living in peace with God, and as far as possible, in peace with our fellow men. And that joy in the Holy Ghost is talking about the joy that we have in knowing that we belong to Christ. The joy that we have, the joy unspeakable and full of glory that the Bible talks about, that's what the kingdom of God is all about. It's not keeping days. It's not eating a special diet. It's living the way that we're supposed to live. It's living in peace with God. You can't live with peace with God unless you know Jesus as your Savior. If you're not saved, you're at enmity with God. You're at war with God. And you have a hard time, if you're at war with God, you have a hard time getting along with anybody else as well. But the kingdom of God is about living in peace and in joy. Verse 18, for he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. These things are righteousness, peace, and joy. If you're in those things, you're serving Christ, and for the most part, you're approved of men. You'll live your life in such a way that the world will look at you and say, there's an honest person. There's a person that keeps their word. There's a person that keeps their promises. There's a person that tries to do right. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Now again, Paul is saying what he's saying in verse 19 in the context of what we've been talking about. He says, follow the things which make for peace. If you know that eating meat, if you know that not keeping a holy day is going to cause division, is going to cause offense, then don't follow that. Yes, you have the freedom to do it, Paul would say. Yes, there's nothing wrong with it. But if it's going to cause offense, if it's going to cause division in the church, if it's going to break up peace, then just stay away from it. And he says, in doing that, you have a better chance of edifying another. You have a better chance of edifying a weaker brother. Now, that word edify means to build up. So just stop and think about it. If you're going to fly in the face of another person's conviction, in other words, if somebody believes, let's take it today, if somebody believes today that playing cards is wrong, if somebody believes today that going to movies is wrong, and you do it in spite of and knowing that how they feel, and you do it where they can see it, you're probably not going to have much of an impact in building them up in their faith, building them up in their Christianity. You're probably going to have no influence at all on them because they're going to say, that's not a very good Christian. He plays cards and he goes to movies. But if you know they feel that way and you step back and say, even though I don't think there's anything wrong with this, I'm not going to do it because I don't want to offend this person who has a conviction about it, then you will probably have more of an impact on them and be able to contribute to their edification, be able to contribute to them being built up. Again, you're going to have more of an impact stepping back from it than you are partaking of those things in their presence. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. Whether you eat meat or don't eat meat is not going to destroy God. It's not going to destroy the things, the work of God. I mean, God's work is done through Jesus Christ. And whether we eat or whether we don't eat or whether we keep a day or don't keep a day, it's not going to destroy the work of God. And Paul says, all things are pure. Now, if you're conscious, if your conviction says, again, your convictions ought to be based on the Word of God. I mean, if your convictions say it's okay to buy a lottery ticket, then you need to get into the Word of God. If your convictions say it's okay to get drunk, you need to get into the Word of God. If your convictions say it's okay to live a riotous life, you need to get into the Word of God. But Paul says, all things are pure. But even some pure things are evil for somebody whose convictions says that it's wrong. Okay? And so I may say it's okay to play cards. Somebody may say it's not okay. Well, it's not okay for them. It like that verse says, it's evil for them to go against their convictions. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Again, Paul is saying, just don't do it. If you know by doing it, you're going to cause somebody to stumble. If you know by doing it, you're going to offend somebody. If you know that's going to make them weaker in their Christian faith, then why would you do it? Paul says, just don't do it. It doesn't make any difference any way to the work of God. And if you're going to tear somebody down by doing it, don't do it. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. So your faith says, it's okay for me to do this. It's okay for me to eat meat. It's okay for me not to keep these days. Well, that's okay. Keep it between yourself and God. God knows your heart. God knows your conviction. But don't exercise your freedom and tear somebody else down in something that is allowed. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, that word damned there doesn't mean that if somebody believes you shouldn't eat meat and they eat meat, they're going to go to hell. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about their conscience is going to be damned because their faith, the way they define faith, says, I shouldn't eat. I should keep these holy days. And if they don't do it, then for them, it is sin because they have the conviction about it. They believe that you shouldn't do it. Now, let's just go on. We've got a couple minutes. Let's go ahead and start chapter 15 because it sort of carries right along into that. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. We're strong. We know it doesn't make any difference whether we eat meat or not. We know it doesn't make any difference if we keep holy days or not. But we have brothers who think it's wrong, and so we need to bear their infirmities, their weaknesses, so to speak. And again, Paul classifies them as weakness because a lot of people think, well, I'm not a Christian at all if I eat this meat. I'm not a Christian at all if I don't keep these holy days. And so it's a weakness in that sense. And Paul says we need to bear those weaknesses. In other words, we need to respect their convictions and not please ourselves. Don't worry about pleasing yourself. Worry about the impact of your actions on the weaker brother. What's it going to do to their testimony? If you're going to do something that they think is wrong, even though it may not be wrong and you don't think it's wrong, ask the question, what is it going to do to their faith? What is it going to do to their testimony? Verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Again, so we have this freedom in Christ. We know that it's not wrong. And again, I'll just use the examples that Paul did. It's not wrong to eat this meat. It's not wrong to not honor these holy days. Instead of exercising our rights, instead of exercising our freedom, instead of doing what we want to do because we know it's right, let's not please ourselves. Let's please our neighbor. Let's honor his conviction. And again, as we do that, we have a chance of building them up, of edifying them. Paul points out Christ as our example. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. The last part of verse 3 is a quote from Psalm 69, verse 9, where Christ did not, he said, I did not come to do my own will. I came to do the will of my Father. In doing the will of my Father, reproach fell on me. In doing the will of my Father, I had to go to the cross. I had to be crucified. I had to undergo the trial and all the associated things with the trial. And Jesus said on several occasions, not my will. I didn't come to do my will. Anything that Jesus would have done would have been good. I mean, he was God. But he said, I didn't come to please myself. I came to please my Father. I came to do his will. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now we'll quote with this verse. Paul's saying the same thing here that he said in 2 Timothy 3:16, where the Bible says, and I wrote it down so I wouldn't have to look it up, for all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So all the things that were written aforetime, all the scripture that was written down at the inspiration of God were written for our learning. They were written so that we could learn. They were written to teach us something. That we, through those scriptures, might learn patience. Patience is endurance. Patience is long-suffering. So this going to the scripture, learning from the scripture, teaches us how to endure. And comfort. which is consolation, being able to comfort somebody else, console somebody else, that we might have hope. Now, a hope, this hope is not a hope so hope. It's not a wistful desire. It's not wishing for something to happen. This hope is a no so hope. It's knowing that God has a plan, and God will work that plan. And if we're obedient to his will, we have a hope in him that he's going to take care of us. Doesn't mean our path will always be pleasant. Doesn't mean our circumstances will always be pleasant. But we have a no-so hope, a no-so knowledge that as God's children, he's going to take care of us. He's going to provide. Not everything we want, but everything we need. He's going to protect. And we learn that from the scriptures. So thank you for being here. We'll pick up verse 5 a couple of weeks from now. Let's stand together. We'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.